Well, hey, Journey, welcome to church. So glad to see you today. Yeah. To all of you, all of our locations here in Newark in the room, Hokesson in the room at Wilmington Christian, and all of you are part of our online location right now. Big welcome to you. If you are here for the first time at any of our locations, I want to be one of those who adds my voice to just saying a big welcome to you. Hope you're having a great experience so far. And we are in week two of a series that we've called Illuminate, which is all about lighting up our lives during this season and letting the light of Jesus shine into our lives during this time of year. And this weekend is also our Christmas offering, which I'm very excited about. If you've been here the past few weeks, I've been sharing the vision of it, and we do this every year, a couple of weeks before Christmas. We give above and beyond our regular giving to make a difference outside our walls. It's not an offering to cover our expenses, existing expenses as a church, but to make a difference in places that we aren't yet. And I'm very excited that this year, 100% of our Christmas offering is going toward launching a new location, not in an undisclosed place, everybody, but in Middletown, Delaware. So yeah, I'm pumped to be able to share that. Yeah. If you live in the Middletown area, if you're watching online from Middletown, we're coming. So I'm excited about it. And at the end of the gathering today, you'll have an opportunity to participate in that. And then I also want to give you a sneak peek. It's something that's coming up. It's still a few weeks away, but I just want to kind of get it in your heart a few weeks in advance. And that is 21 days of prayer and fasting. It starts January 9th. And again, if you're newer to our church, we do this every year in January. We actually have two seasons of kind of focused prayer, one in August that's a week, and January that's 3 weeks. And wherever you are in your spiritual journey, this is going to give you the chance to really experience more of God. We'll have prayer times every day in person and online, and a chance for you to really connect with God and set the stage for 2023. So why are you telling us so far in advance? Well, I want to get it in your spirit. And also, you know, if you kind of have taken steps in the fasting thing, you just might want to eat more over Christmas. So I just wanted to share that with you. Some of you are like, already had that covered, whether we were doing 21 days or not, was planning on it. So that's coming up. And as we continue the series today, if you do much driving at all, you may have noticed something popping up across America. Traffic circles. Have you been through one of these traffic circles yet? Have you had to experience one of these? So they're just kind of expanding at a rapid rate around the country. I don't know if you've noticed. And if you're like me, you don't always love them. Not always the biggest fan. Why? Because they require us to slow down. They force us to slow down. And then suddenly you got to yield. You ever be headed for a traffic circle? You see someone else, you're like, can I get there first? Can I get there first? And then you're trying to act all nonchalant about it. And then you got to yield. And I don't always want to yield. Can I just be honest? I don't always want to yield. How many of us would just, all of our locations, just admit it. You don't always want to yield. Again, mentioned this last week. Just watch for that person on your way out of the parking lot if you're in person. But I don't want to slow down. But apparently, and here's the reason. It's really simple. That's inconvenient. Just inconvenient for me to have to slow down. But apparently, traffic circles work. Studies have shown that if you install a traffic circle at a busy intersection, it can reduce serious accidents by up to 90%. Not just reduce accidents, they may still happen, but it's harder to have a serious one because you got to slow down, you got to yield. So there might be some fender benders, but it really reduces the serious accidents, which is kind of crazy. But you may not call these traffic circles. You may know them by another name. Roundabout. How many of that's how you know? It's a roundabout, right? You're like, what is that? Traffic circle, man. It's a roundabout. And wherever we are when it comes to God and church and Jesus, whatever our background when it comes to faith, all of us have probably been through a roundabout lately. Not in our cars, but in a relationship. We had to slow down for someone we care about, and it was inconvenient, right? Had to yield. How many of us are in a relationship, and how many guys discovered you got into a dating relationship or engaged or married? That woman has emotions. How many of us have discovered, like, she has you know what emotions, anybody know what emotions are? I think I've been married for about 8 years before I realized, oh, these are emotions. Just being honest. And then I realized I had some. That was a big discovery, too. I was like, oh, you know what? I actually have some emotions. I didn't know what they were, but I've got some. Maybe in your health or your finances, you've had to slow down, make some changes to what you eat or how you exercise or put off a major purchase until you're in a better place to afford it. And if you're like me, you may have silently cursed a few roundabouts in your life. and just thought, God, why do I have to slow down right now? This is not what I want to do. I'm at A, there's B. I want to hop the curb and get to B, right? Like, I don't want to have to yield to anybody. I don't want to slow down. So the question is, where is God when it feels like we're going in circles? And here's the verse that really inspired this series, the words of Jesus. He said, I am the light of the world. If you'll let me, I want to illuminate your life. And if you follow me, not just come to church once in a while or say you believe in me or cry out to me when there's a crisis, but if you actually organize your life around me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Now, for some of us, we're still trying to figure out if we really believe that Jesus can illuminate our lives, but others of us, we would say we believe this. Yes, I believe Jesus is the light of the world, and I believe that if I walk with him, you know, things are gonna be better in my life, richer, more meaningful, until he leads us into a traffic circle. And if that's how we feel like we're kind of going in a roundabout season, in a circle season in our lives, we're not alone. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, we read about the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They had been under an oppressive regime for 400 years. Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, did not want to let them go. And it's kind of a crazy story if you read Exodus. Pharaoh was finally convinced by a series of miracles that he had to let the Israelites go. And so he let them go. An 80-year-old guy named Moses led them out of Egypt. How inspiring is that? Like, if you're 79, you might not even have started your purpose in life yet. That's good news, somebody. Like, so Moses leads them out of Egypt. Pharaoh finally lets them go. But then we read these words. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory. I'll explain what that means in just a moment. But he didn't lead them along the main road, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. A, B, this is the quickest way to get there. God said, no, we're actually going to go kind of on this more meandering path. Now, I've already admitted I'm not the most patient driver. I'm the guy who is routinely looking for the lane that's going the fastest. How many of us just would, like, we're always like, how many lane analysts do we have in the house? Like, you got your degree in lane analysis. You're like, I can tell that one's going a little bit faster. How many of us don't use our blinker? I'm just kidding. You don't have to raise your hand. You can go talk to God about that later. You don't have to admit that publicly. Admit that in your J group. Just get honest with a few people. But I want... Aren't you glad you come to church? So much fun, isn't it? Like, I didn't get that much out of it, but there were a couple of times I laughed. It was good. All right, so I just want my commute to be convenient. I'm looking for efficiency. I'm kind of wired that way. What's most efficient? Here's the problem when it comes to a life of faith. That is not usually how God leads me. It is not usually how God directs us. Have you noticed? He's not that interested in convenience. He rarely does the most efficient thing. He rarely takes us on the shortest route. Sometimes God keeps us in a lane that seems like it's moving slower than all the other lanes. And how many of us have been there like, God, it really looks like they're going faster over there. Can I switch? Really seems like it's going more smoothly in that lane. Some of us were like, I'm dating this person, but it looks like it'd be better if I was dating that person. Can I switch? Some of us are married. That's another message for another time. We'll talk about that in February, everybody. Do a relationship series. But we're just wondering, like, God, it's going, they're making more money than I am, and I feel like I'm working harder than they are. Can I switch? And God, would it be okay if I don't even use my blinker? Like, I just want to get over. I just want it to be convenient. I just want to get there as quickly as possible. You know that main road that we read about in Exodus would have been the easier route for God's people to navigate. It was shorter. It had access to lots of food and water. Everything about it seemed right, but it wasn't. Everything about it seemed like it was a good path. It just wasn't a God path. And I wonder if maybe some of us have been chasing after convenience. And some of the darkness that we're experiencing in our lives isn't actually as tied to our circumstances as we think it is. It's more tied to our impatience and our frustration and our lack of trust in God. Myself included. Like, I just wonder if maybe in our relationships, our habits, our faith, we're chasing after convenience and we're frustrated that God isn't on board with our plan to get as quickly as possible from A to B. And I want to be clear, convenience isn't always bad. I'm a fan of convenience. Thank God for instant oatmeal and Instapots. You're like, what is an Instapot? Is that a drug reference? No, it is not. Listen, stay with me, people. I work hard at this, everybody. This is like... So I didn't know what an Instapot was either, but my wife brought one home a couple of years ago, and it's changed our family. And I don't really know how it works, I'll be honest. I just know when I get close to it, she's always like, don't burn yourself. So they're dangerous, but they're quick and they're convenient. And they cook food really quickly, and I'm grateful for that. Convenience isn't always bad until chasing it robs us of the character we need to do hard things that matter. Convenience isn't always bad until chasing it steals the clarity we need to endure pain for a worthy cause. So here's a question. Where am I chasing convenience and in the process compromising the character that God's trying to shape in me? Like I want it fast. So if God didn't lead his people on the shortest route, the question is why? And here's the answer. God said, I'm going to tell you why. If the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So the Philistines, whose territory that God led his people around rather than through, were a sneaky, vicious, violent enemy. They're going to show up later in the story of the people of God. You can read about them in the Old Testament. They were always trying to oppress and rob and defeat God's people. And so God knew that even though he had just miraculously rescued his people, they still needed to grow in their faith. And they were still close enough to Egypt that if they faced too big a battle too soon, even if they faced too big an opportunity too soon, they might be tempted to change their minds and go back to the place where they had been oppressed and enslaved for hundreds of years. In other words, the people had gotten out of Egypt, but not all the Egypt had gotten out of the people. And so God said, I'm going to take you on the long route because there's some things you're just not ready for yet. Where is God taking some of us on the long route and we're frustrated? Maybe we want to be in charge now. We look at our boss and we're like, I could do that job way better than they could. And we're frustrated and God's saying, no, actually, you're not ready. If I put you in charge now, the people around you, the people that you were leading would actually begin to suffer because you're not ready. You don't have the character for it. And the question is, are we going to just be mad at God? Well, I know better than you, creator of the universe, who's been around forever and will be here long after I'm gone and made everything out of nothing. Are we going to be frustrated and angry, or are we going to trust God? Maybe for some of us, we're going, hey, I want to be in a serious relationship now. And God's saying, well, actually, let's work a little on your emotional health first because you're going to need it in a serious relationship. Maybe for some of us, we're like, I want lots of money now. And God is saying, actually, we haven't settled your motivations yet. And if I made you rich, it would ruin your life. Because you wouldn't know why. Where is it that God's taking us on a longer route? And I get it. We want to blow through that intersection at 70 miles an hour, but we might T-bone something important. We might sideswipe our own success. We might roll that relationship. And so God says, trust me, let me slow you down temporarily so that ultimately I can accelerate you into a better future that you're prepared for. In other words, stop cursing the circle that's slowing you down. Start trusting the one who put it there to save your life. God's saying, I'm going to take you in just a little bit different way. So if God didn't lead his people on the shortest route, how did he lead them? God led them in, there it is, he led them in a roundabout. He's like, hey, everybody, we're going to have to slow down. I need you to trust me. I'm going to get you where I said I was going to get you. But first, we're going to have to enter this round of it. You have to yield. Slow down. I'm going to take you through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Anybody have kids? How many parents are just in the rooms? Newark, Hocus, and online if you have kids. Yeah, I have kids. Have your kids ever thought they were ready for something and you knew they weren't? Now, I'm not talking about being overprotective, and maybe for some of you in the room, you are the kid, you are the student, you're like, yeah, my parents never think I'm ready for anything. That might be another problem. But I'm talking about being appropriately protective. Like, your kid thinks they're ready, but they can't see what you see. So what do? Well, sometimes, if you're a good parent, sometimes you let them find out on their own. When the stakes are low, you go, okay, you think you're ready? I don't think you're ready. Why don't you try it out? See if you're ready. God's done that with me a number of times in my life. I've been like, God, I'm ready for this. And God's like, I don't think you are, but. And then I've come back and been like, you know, it's a funny thing, God. You were right. You were right. So sometimes when the stakes are low, you let them experience pain. And God does that with us. He will not always protect us from everything. But when you know that their destiny could be in danger, if you're a good parent, you make them slow down. You ask hard questions. You slow the timeline way, way down. And that's what God does with us as well. He leads us in a roundabout way in seasons of our lives, often through what feels like a wilderness. There's not a lot of food. There's not a lot of water. There's not a lot of success. There aren't a lot of tangible signs that we're going the right direction. But God sees things we don't see. God made his people slow down. This is what God does very often. And this is why a lot of people give up on God, by the way, because we get impatient. We want the shortest route. It's kind of part of our human condition, which, by the way, God's statement about us, we talked about this last week, that Jesus reveals what God is like, and he shows us all the ways in which God has been right about us, but we haven't realized it. God's statement about us is that we were created in his image. We're extraordinarily valuable to God. But we have been broken and marred by sin. The thoughts we've continued to think, things we've said, things we've done, the decisions we've made that separated us from God. And so God created us in his image, but we have also entered this fallen condition. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Read the news. Like the world is beautiful and broken. All at the same time. It's made by God and it's beautiful and wonderful, but it's also marred by sin and dysfunction. And so God knows that we have this brokenness in us. And what does it do? It makes us seek convenience. We want the shortest route with our relationships. And so what do? We manipulate, we scheme, we enable, we hide instead of being honest. With money or pleasure, we overeat, we overspend, we overdrink, we oversleep, we hook up, we scroll for hours, we do the minimum at our jobs, we use alcohol or porn to medicate our emptiness because it feels more convenient. We're like, you know what? This whole kind of thing, following Jesus is going slow, but over in that lane, everybody's having a great time. Let me just switch. And we end up emptier and emptier. And it gets darker and darker in our lives because we're not going where we deeply desire to go. Like nobody in any of our rooms today, nobody watching, I don't care where you are spiritually, you may not even believe in God, but you would not say, you know what I want to do? I want to get to the end of my life and look back and go, I chose what was convenient even though it cost me my character and my relationships. Nobody would say that. And yet that's what we do. And no judgment, I've been there. I still find myself there at times. I reach for things that are convenient. And God comes along and says, there's a better way, but it's a roundabout. You're going to have to yield first to me, God says. And you're probably going to have to yield to someone else along the way. Submit yourself, be willing to learn. But if you'll allow me, I will illuminate your life in the slowed down season. In the roundabout, I'll shine a light on some things you wouldn't have otherwise seen. Let's work on your identity in Christ in the roundabout, God says. Let's talk about the freedom I have for you. You were not meant. Don't go back to Egypt in your attitude on the job. Don't go back to Egypt in where you go for pleasure. Don't go back to, that's just a, you cried out to me. Remember, you were in Egypt and you're like, God, save us. And I did. Don't go back. And I got to slow you down so we can shine the light on the freedom I have for you and the purpose that I have for you. God wants to work in our lives, but so many times we choose the short route. And again, no judgment. If you feel like I'm talking to you, I'm not. I'm right there with you. But I'm learning that God's path often leads into roundabouts. He has rarely done things as quickly as I've wanted him to over the years. But he takes me into traffic circles. And you know what? There's joy in the roundabout when you stop fighting it. There's peace in the process when we allow Jesus to join us in that traffic circle. So in the middle of the circle, how do we know if God is still guiding us? I love this. The Lord went ahead of them. That's important because some of us are like, God's not leading me anymore. Correct, because you went ahead of him. Sometimes we get God's plan right, but we miss God's timing. And we go out ahead of God. But God wants to go ahead of us. Some of us need to go, okay, I think I need to stop allow the Lord to go out ahead of me again. Have you ever tried to lead God? God, I have a great and wonderful plan for your life. God's like, interesting. So the Lord went ahead of them, and he guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud. He provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. Didn't matter what their circumstances were. God was guiding them as long as they allowed him to go ahead of them. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. You keep reading in Exodus, sometimes the pillar of cloud would stay in one place for a long period of time. Sometimes it would move quickly. Same with the pillar of fire. But as long as the Lord was able to go ahead of the people, they were guided by God. God wants to illuminate our lives with his guidance and his direction. And maybe some of us are going, yeah, but I haven't seen a cloud recently. Like, I have not seen a fire from God recently. That's because in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, the people of God needed these external symbols because they did not have the presence of God on the inside. The cloud and the fire represent the presence of God. But they didn't have God on the inside, so they needed him on the outside to guide them. But for all of us who know Jesus, we now have the presence of God living inside of us. You have a renewed spirit. You have a new life in Christ, and Jesus actually lives in us. So what does that mean? It means that when we're in a roundabout season, that is the worst time possible to neglect the pillars of God's presence that he still gives us. That's why we gather like this. Do you know what this does? It forces us to slow down and listen to God's word. That's why we connect with other people going the same direction we are spiritually. Forces us to slow down and to yield a little bit. Like that person got the last brownie and you got to go, okay, I yield to you in my J group. I don't know, am I the only person that's happened to? And then I'm the pastor, so you got to be Christ-like when you're the pastor, you know? But we got to slow down. It's why we serve. So why do we always talk about serving? It's not because we have things to get done. It's because we have one thing that needs to get done, and that's your spiritual formation. And that only happens when you slow down, roll up your sleeves, and say, my life is not ultimately about me. It's why we invite, it's why we pray, it's why we give. Why? Because those are pillars in our lives that God uses to guide us. And when we're in those environments and practicing those habits, they become roundabouts, appropriate roundabouts on our spiritual journey. And that's where we remember to stop cursing the circle that's slowing us down and start trusting the one who put it there to save our lives. Some of us are going a million miles an hour. And I love you enough to tell you there's a serious accident ahead. And God's saying, I've created these pillars to slow you down, to remind you to trust me. When Jesus was born, wise men were guided to him by a star, a light in the night. But if you read the story, they had to go a roundabout way. They stopped in Jerusalem. They had to inquire. They had to slow down. And God wants to do the same thing for us. He wants to illuminate the darkness so we can see Jesus clearly, even in our traffic circles. But there is another danger. So the danger that some of us are facing right now is that we will just fly past the traffic circles. But there is another danger, and that is that we'll get stuck in a roundabout we were only supposed to slow down for. So some of us resist the roundabouts, and others of us get so complacent in them that we just drive in circles for the rest of our lives. You can see that in the story of the Israelites. So God slowed them down, and they were like, why are we going this roundabout way through the wilderness? And they traveled, and they got to the land that God had promised them, and God was like, all right, this was the point of the roundabout. The point of the roundabout was not the roundabout. The point of the roundabout was I used it to shape you and protect you and guide you to get you ready for the promise I had for you. And the people of God said, okay, cool, but we really like the roundabout. And it looks scary to step out in faith into what you promised. So if it's cool with you, we'll just drive in circles for a little bit longer. And God said, actually, it won't be a little bit longer. You're going to do it for 40 years. So don't curse the circle, but don't keep going in circles when God is ready to move you on either. That's why we need God's guidance. And that's where we are as a church. This weekend is our Christmas offering. And we're going to give to make a difference outside of our walls, to light up the darkness, and to finish the budget that we need to launch a new location in Middletown so that more people can find Jesus and follow him fully. And the amount it takes to do that, to start a new location from the ground up and to cover all of the operating expenses. So we don't launch until we've got enough to start it and sustain it for the first full year. Rent, and salaries, and marketing, and supplies, and equipment, and all of the things that go into that. It's a large amount. And I believe that we can see God do something supernatural this Christmas if we'll be willing to slow down, listen to God, and maybe take a little detour and express our generosity. And you've already given over 40% of what we need. Thank God. But there's still $400,000 between us and where we need to be. It's a big amount. But I believe we can see God do something unimaginable if just a few of us caught it, but possible if all of us participate. And here's the interesting thing. We first started talking about launching a location in Middletown 3 years ago. So I guess you could say we've been in a roundabout. And the reason it matters so much, and the reason now's the time to go, is because God gave us a traffic circle. Gave us a vision that looks remarkably like a roundabout. 1.8 million people live in that circle. And here's the craziest thing that anybody could ever do. So I'm standing up here and I'm asking you to give to help people you will probably never meet. And if you're gonna do that, you're gonna have to slow down. Because for any of us to respond to what God's leading us to do, and by the way, let me pause for a moment and just say, if you're still trying to figure out what you believe about Jesus, your next step is probably not to give anything here. We're not gonna pass anything around the room today. There's no pressure to give anything. But for all of us who've seen the light, I've been inviting you to do three things. To pray, ask God what he'd have you do, to listen to God's nudging, and then to give as God leads. And to do that, especially to do that. See, if we just wanted to be like Newark and we would have never had a Hokesson, thank God there's a Hokesson. If we just want to be Newark and Hokesson, we could never have a Middletown and we'd be okay. But God says, would you slow down and enter this circle that matters to me? Let it matter to you. And to do that, here's what I know. Some of us are probably gonna have to enter a roundabout financially. Susie and I did this week. We prayed about this and we decided we were gonna give a percentage of that $400,000, what we felt led to do. And for some of us, like, there are other things we plan to do with that money. It's like, A, B, here's the fastest route. And God's like, there are other things that we had. And all of us that are at a different place financially, so the amounts between us and God, but I'm just inviting you to experience God in a moment of generosity. And I believe if we'll do that together, man, we've seen the faithfulness of God in this church. I'm just gonna be super honest with you. We first started the church 15 years ago, so Susie, my wife, and I started the church, and it's been such an honor to serve you for 15 years, and man, the best is yet to come. We first started the church, whenever I had to talk about giving, I was like, if you really want to give anything. I was so timid. But I have seen the faithfulness of God. I cannot be timid about the faithfulness of God. I watched us as a church when our Newark location needed a building and we had this dream. I drove by this building where our broadcast location is now and I stretched my hand out toward it when it didn't make sense and said, God, would you give that to us? And we had an opportunity to purchase it. And you know what we did? We walked in circles around this building for 30 days and prayed to God that he would give it to us. And you gave. And now thousands of people have found Jesus in a gathering here. There's just no timidity about the faithfulness of God. when we were led to launch what is now our Hokesson location, you gave. Hundreds of people have found Jesus as a result of that. I was in Journey Leadership Institute, our evening program this week, and met a leader, Jewel, there who had never been to our Newark location until a couple of weeks ago. She came to Hokesson and had her life changed by God. Now she's pursuing a calling of God on her life to lead and make a difference. And you might never meet her, but you gave, and it's the faithfulness of God. It's the faithfulness of God. Listen, let me inspire you a little bit more. During COVID, when the world shut down and everybody's like, we can't do anything, I stood up here and I didn't even have you in person. It was like to a camera. Everybody was online. And I cast vision, said, let's build a food distribution center. And we built a food distribution center. We've given away hundreds of thousands of pounds of free food to people in need. We've prayed with people that put their faith in Jesus. People have come here and found peace and hope. Because of your generosity, it's the faithfulness of God. And now as we step into this season, we have an opportunity to see the faithfulness of God in the city of Middletown. To see God change lives. So Susie and I gave this week. I wouldn't ask you to do anything we didn't do. We gave, it's fun. Would you join us? You say, fun? It's not fun, it's scary. I know, everything fun is scary. Roller coaster, skydiving, skiing, Christmas offerings. I would submit to you it isn't fun if it isn't a little scary. Don't curse the circle that slows you down. It'll slow you down if you give toward Journey City this Christmas. Don't curse it. Trust the one who put it there. Save someone else's life. Where is it in your life where you've been chasing convenience and you're frustrated? Come on, you have lane envy. Like, God, they're going faster and I thought I'd be further and it's not working out. That God's going, shh. I've got your life in my hands. Slow down. I'm in this circle with you. Trust me. Stop cursing the circle. Start trusting the one who put it there. And if you would say, I receive that today in my life, I believe God's speaking to me, all of our locations, would you just shoot a hand up toward heaven, hold it up high here in Newark, Hokesson, online, you can stretch that hand toward heaven. And receive this today. Let me pray over you. Father, I come to you on behalf of your people, and I'm one of them. We need you. God, we need you to light up the darkness through Jesus Christ, your Son. Jesus, there was a prophecy about you in the Old Testament that you would be the Prince of Peace. Will you join us? Come on, would you invite him to do this? God, will you join me in my roundabout? Will you join me in my less than perfect circumstances? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I trust you. And God, I pray a blessing over your people as we respond to your goodness toward us by faith. We extend ourselves for the sake of others with generosity. Open the windows of heaven. Prove that you are our provider. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take just a moment more to speak to any of you who don't have a real relationship with God yet. You don't know Jesus personally. Listen, if you feel like your life has been a traffic circle, you're just going in circles, you don't have purpose, you don't have direction, maybe even from the outside looking in, it looks like things are going well. Maybe even every success you achieve leaves you emptier and emptier because you don't have the light that leads to life. You don't have to take another step in the darkness. When you put your faith in Jesus who died for you and rose again so that you could know God, your life takes on purpose. You'll know why you're here, who created you, how much you matter to him. And if you want to take that step today, it'd be my honor to lead you in very simple prayer. So I want everyone to join me, all of our locations, open your heart up big to God. And then if that's you today, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith. something like this. Jesus, today I look to you as leader and Lord of my life. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you rose again. I don't understand everything about you, but I want to follow you. Save me today. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, will you shoot your hand up? Just hold it up high. Come on, boldly, all over the room, in Newark and Hokesson. Yeah, my faith is in Jesus, yes. Trusting him with my life, yeah. It's awesome. If you're online, type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on, share that with us. Make sure you take a moment before you leave and fill in a connect card. Let us know you took that step. And then, Journey, will you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise, all the honor.